Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast and PewterReport.com. Happy Tuesday to everybody watching, and want to say hello to all the Pewter people that are just filing in and joining the comments for today's show. We got a fun one to get into as we're talking a lot about the franchise tag and how it pertains to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, specifically with that man on the screen, the head graphic, Antoine Winfield Jr. And should the Buccaneers franchise tag Antoine Winfield Jr.? And if not, are there other candidates out there on the roster that would behoove the Bucs the most to give a tag to? So we'll talk a lot about that. See some draft questions as well and comments. We'll get to that too. Of course, Super Chats lead the way. If you have a really discerning comment or one you just want to get off your chest, you want to Super Chat us, we'll make sure we get to it right away as well. I'm your host, Matt Matera. Joined with me is the face that runs the place of PewterReport.com, SR Scott Reynolds. And Scott, how you doing? You ready to talk some franchise tags?
Yes, I am. And let's see. Today is Tuesday, February 20th. The next podcast we do on a Tuesday, we will have already spoken with General Manager Jason Light for the first time this offseason, and we'll talk to Todd Bowles. We'll be at the Combine, of course. So just a quick little note about our program. We have a show tomorrow, one on Thursday at the normal scheduled time of 4 o'clock Eastern.
That's correct.
But next week, no show on Monday. We'll be traveling to Indianapolis on Monday afternoon / evening. So our shows next week are going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We will be live from Indianapolis, probably primetime shows because of the schedule. We have yet to receive the actual schedule for the interviews with the media, with the players. But more than likely, we'll be having some primetime shows next week. I think it's what we did last year. So yes, we'll stick to that format. And next Tuesday's show will be having our reaction to Todd Bowles and Jason Light, and some news always breaks when those gentlemen talk in Indy, and we'll have their reaction or our reaction to what they had to say and their answers to our questions. So if you have a question for Jason Light or Todd Bowles, fire away and we'll put it down.
Feel free to tweet at us, leave it in the comment on this YouTube channel, whether it's today's show, tomorrow or Thursday, because I mean, part of the reason we are the media is we want to get across to coaches, players, GMs, what the fans want to know
as
well.
We're here to serve you.
Yeah, exactly. We're kind of a bastion for we're the middleman at times for the fans to the, you know, the players, coaches, and GMs, like we just said. So yeah, anything you got, please leave a comment, super chat, anything like that, and we'll try to get as much as we possibly can from Jason Light and Todd Bowles when we speak to them at the Combine next week. So that's going to be so much fun. Yeah. Ton of content and things like that, both on our YouTube channel and PewterReport.com that we will have for all of you, Pewter people. But don't you worry. In the meantime, we still got plenty of Bucs content to talk about. And we'll start today's show, most notably, Scott, you're a defensive guy. So we'll start the best player, arguably on the team, but without a doubt, the best player on defense. And that is Antoine Winfield Jr., the free safety, number 31. I think he played up to his contract level this year.
I think he still he deserves a pay raise, Matt.
I think he deserves a raise for sure.
Yeah.
And that's the big domino to fall on the defensive side of things for the Bucs. Certainly Lavonte David and not overlooking him and what he means to this team as well. But I think if you're talking about long-term future of the Buccaneers and even immediate future of the Buccaneers, it starts and stops with Antoine Winfield Jr. And that's what makes Antoine quite a notable and probably the top priority guy when you think of franchise tag for the Buccaneers. Antoine Winfield Jr. kind of stands out amongst the most of them of the roster, because I just see no world in which the Bucs can let Antoine Winfield Jr. walk out the door and play for another team next season.
Yeah, he is the ultimate chess piece for Todd Bowles, right? He does so much, whether it's playing, you know, the deep middle in a cover one or cover three scheme at center field, making game-saving touchdown, saving tackles, as he did. Go back to week one. He had two tackles where Justin Jefferson was out the gate for a touchdown. And twice, and he prevented touchdowns, whether it's breaking up passes in the end zone, as he did plenty of times, most notably at New Orleans on that deep shot to Chris Olave, or in Tampa against Drake London in the back of the end zone, or forced fumbles, six, which led the league, or using him as a blitzer, right, where he had, half a dozen sacks this year. Mm-hmm. So just an all-around great player. He's a tackling machine. I dare say, Matt, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if you agree with me, let me know. I think he's the best pure tackler on the team. I mean, his missed tackle rate is just bar none, and I think that he is the most sure tackler on this team, and that has a lot of value.
Yeah, I would say it's either him or Levante, because, I mean, Levante's just been doing it for such a long time, and at linebacker, you're kind of a little more equipped to go and make the tackle, make the big play. But I'm with you. I mean, it's either Levante or Antoine Winfield Jr. in terms of just premier top tackler on this team. You barely see a missed tackle from Antoine Winfield Jr. when you're watching the tape. And to your point, even on plays where he's got to get on his giddy up and get after the ball carrier, that's when the ball gets out of the hands of, the player with the football.
Goal line forced fumbles, right? One against the Falcons, knocking the ball out of Desmond Ritter's hands. And then a huge play, which would have given Carolina a 7-0 lead over the Buccaneers in week 18, knocking the ball
if the Bucs
out of
win
DJ
that game.
Turk's hands.
Yeah. I think it's honestly a fair statement to make that the Bucs may not win that game if they immediately, maybe not immediately, but if they went down 7-0, the way that game was going, the inability of the offense in that game specifically, just being unable to move the football, and the defense surprisingly getting the ball moved down on them on that drive in particular. I don't think it's a stretch to say that Antoine Winfield Jr. saved the game for the Bucs and got Tampa Bay into the playoffs. And it's crazy butterfly effect. I think Bucs fans would have signed up for what happened this year, getting to that second round of the postseason, hanging tough with the Detroit Lions. It is crazy to think, though, and I'm not saying that I wanted this or Bucs fans should want this, but what if Winfield doesn't make that play? Right. Panthers end up winning. Todd Bowles gets fired. Now we got a new coach. Is Baker – like, what is the Baker Mayfield discussion we're having now versus if Todd Bowles were to get fired and things of that nature? But it's all butterfly effect thing. You don't know from there. And the last thing I'll say about Antoine Winfield Jr. before we kind of talk about the franchise tag and him and the history of the franchise tag for the Buccaneers, as great as he was last season, I still think there is room for growth. Development, taking the football away in terms of interceptions, I think is definitely an area that Antoine Winfield Jr. can improve on. I'm not saying he needs to be Ed Reed out there and every time he takes the ball away, it should be a pick six or something like that.
But that's coming too. He's got a pick six or two in his career coming. And Matt, I don't think it would surprise you or me if, you know, next year, the year after, within the next 3 or 4 years, if this guy has a 5 or 6 interception season.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that'll come with a better pass rush from the Buccaneers, which they're trying to build on. Other corners that are able to take the ball away where the quarterback goes, oh, I'm not going to throw it to that side of the field. Right. Let me try a shot over the middle or something like that, where Antoine Winfield Jr. can kind of play a little bit everywhere. And maybe that's why some of the interceptions haven't been there as much, because Todd Bowles loves to blitz him, because he'll put him up at the line of scrimmage where, you know, unless you get a situation like week two against the Bears where it's a screen pass and Shaq Barrett's right there to get a pick six and seal the game. Defensive backs don't typically get a ton of interceptions like at the line of scrimmage. I know Carlton Davis had one against Atlanta in Atlanta, but my point is they're very few and far between.
Right.
Now, if the Bucs can kind of put together some pieces around the rest of the defense, then you can kind of pick and choose your moments to blitz Antoine Winfield Jr. Mm-hmm. instead of last season, which very much felt a lot like we need to blitz Antoine Winfield Jr. or else we're not getting to the quarterback. So, you know, maybe you see a dip there in terms of tackles or sacks, but you see an uptick in interceptions just based on the strategy of the defense. But either way, he needs to be in Tampa Bay. He needs to be in red and pewter, or else all this is a pipe dream.
Just imagine, too, if they can find another safety that can really – I'm not saying beyond his level because this guy's special. He's going to get paid special money because he's special. But just a more competent safety, kind of like you have John Lynch and then you had Dexter Jackson, right?
Yes.
Lynch was the Hall of Famer. Jackson was that steady Eddie, right? If you can find another guy that when you put Winfield down in the box – the other guy goes back there and can competently play center field, right? To where you're not having to, you know, do anything to really kind of, you know, camouflage or disguise or protect, you know, Ryan Neal, who is not going to be back. But I mean, he was certainly less than what they needed. And so whether it's in the draft or free agency, or maybe Kayvon Merriweather takes a big step forward, or maybe they move, Christian Izian to strong safety, right? And because he's kind of built like Jordan Whitehead a little bit. He's a compact, strong dude that's just short. If you have another safety that's good to pair with an excellent one, I think it just makes Winfield so much better, and it really speaks to what you were saying there about that. So here's the interesting thing. Winfield, 25 years old. He's got a lot of great years ahead of him. Why is he going to get the franchise tag instead of Baker Mayfield or Mike Evans? Let's talk about that. I did put a story that I had that really kind of explains it, but I'm going to explain it here in the podcast. So, but if you want the written version of what I'm about to say, go read that article. I put it in the article comments. Okay, so when you look at the franchise tag, there's a couple components to it. One is you want to use it in situations where maybe you're not sure if the player can replicate that level of performance, right? He's earned a big payday. He's earned a huge contract extension, but you're just not quite sure if you want to invest all that money into that particular player, right? Now, Matt, I think this is a good time to kind of go through some of the history and explain some of the players, and some of these players are big-name players. But the one that comes to mind immediately was a couple of years ago. It was Shaq Barrett, right, in 2019. And he was one of – there's eight instances where they've used the franchise tag in Tampa Bay's history. And Shaq Barrett, remember, 1 year, $5 million prove-it deal.
Yep.
He had 19 and a half sacks. Well, the Buccaneers didn't expect he was going to get 19 and a half sacks the next season. But was that an aberration? Was that a fluke? Was he going to go from 19 and a half – down to six or five, right?
Yeah.
So they wanted to franchise tag him and see what happened. Well, guess what happened in 2020? Yeah, the numbers dipped a little bit. I think he had eight sacks during the regular season, but you see him in the Super Bowl, right? He was a terror in the postseason with Aaron Rodgers getting sacked, Pat Mahomes getting sacked in the Super Bowl. And so then this team felt good, even though he was getting up there in his late 20s. I think he was 28 at the time. They did sign him to that contract extension. So that kind of begs the question, well, gosh, Baker Mayfield would be the perfect candidate for that. So would Mike Evans, right? Mike Evans, he'll be 31 in August. Baker Mayfield he'll be 29 in April. So why not give the franchise tag to one of those two guys? Because you know Winfield has got plenty of room to continue to grow, and his play is not going to drop off. He's just now entering his prime. But let's go back, Matt, and talk about some of those players that did get some of those franchise tags throughout history, and then we'll tell you why it's going to be Winfield and not Evans or Mayfield right now.
Yeah, so a pretty vast history of the Bucs giving the franchise tag, going all the way back to 1993, starting with offensive tackle Paul Gruber, which I think a lot of Bucs fans know that name quite well. Now, Gruber actually sat out the first five games because he did not want to be franchise tagged.
That's right.
But eventually was able to sign an extension with the Buccaneers. And that's what you'll see a lot with these franchise tags in general. It doesn't necessarily have to be with the Bucs, but across the league, Sometimes you just want to franchise tag a player so you know, at worst case scenario, you have him under contract, all guaranteed, at least for this season.
Right.
But it gives you more time, more leeway room to then work on an extension after right. that, which you'll see with the player that I'll mention in just a moment. The next time was defensive end Chidi Ihonatiu back in 1999, then Antonio Bryant in 2009, a wide receiver. Kicker Connor Barth was 2012, and then as you mentioned, Scott, Shaq Barrett was in 2020. His franchise tag was for $15.8 million, which kind of funny, too, that he was number 58 at the time, now number 7, but got 15.8. And to your point, that season, again, franchise tags, kind of a prove-it deal for a lot of players, and definitely was the case for Shaq. Shaq, in the regular season, had 57 tackles, 11 tackles for loss, 8 sacks, like you mentioned, 2 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries, and a safety as well.
Right.
Now, with those numbers, you go, I don't know what type of contract I want to give Shaq Barrett, but the playoffs is when he really turned it on.
Right.
Little bit of a slow start against Washington and the Saints, didn't record a sack. But that NFC Championship game against the Packers, he had 3 sacks on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. In the Super Bowl, had 1 sack, but his stats, I'm telling you, Bucs fans, if by some crazy chance you did not see the Super Bowl, the stats do not do justice of what Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul did in that game against the Kansas City Chiefs. He had over 10 pressures in the game. They never call holding penalties on the Chiefs, but was in a lot of situations where they probably should have called holding, just harassed Patrick Mahomes from beginning until end. So even though he had 1 sack, it might as well have been like 5 or 6 because he was that dominant. And it was that playoff performance, the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, that really made Shaq Barrett his money. He ended up signing a 4-year, $72 million deal that offseason.
Yeah.
So 2024, this upcoming season, would be Shaq's last year with the Bucs, but obviously that remains to be seen coming up. The last two franchise tags, came with the same player, Chris Godwin. So the 2021 season, his franchise tag was for $15.9 million and had a great season that year, but unfortunately it ended with that ACL injury against the New Orleans Saints. But up until that, he was out of control in all the right ways. 98 catches, 1,103 receiving yards, 5 receiving touchdowns, and 1 rushing touchdown. This was all in 14 games. So he had a couple more games, already broke 1,000 receiving yards, would have got 100 catches on the season if not for the injury.
Yeah.
But because of that,
it was remarkable because even though he missed the last 3 games of the season, Mike Evans couldn't catch him in terms of yards or catches.
Okay, right?
And so just imagine, project those numbers out. And Evans had 1,000-yard season that year, right? He extended a streak.
And
he led the team in touchdowns. That's what he does. But Godwin, from a production standpoint, catches, yards, and for him, having 6 total touchdowns at that time with 3 games left, that's pretty good.
Yeah, no question about it. So then the next season, that's where the franchise tag to then get an extension really came into play. So they used the franchise tag again on Chris Godwin for the second year in a row. However, he did not play on the franchise tag. Him and the Bucs agreed to a 3-year, $60 million deal, which at the time, again, I think looking back on it, I still think it was a good deal.
Seemed a little rich when it was done.
Right. But it's just like navigating – what he went through with the torn ACL, you don't know how he's going to look after.
Yeah.
You look at some of the other wide receiver contracts that players were getting. I think Mike Williams was the other big receiver that,
that
got a payday at the time. And, like, no offense to Mike Williams, but I'm taking Chris Godwin even post-ACL surgery. I'm taking Chris Godwin every day of the week and twice on Sunday over Mike Williams.
It was so funny because after he was tagged, then they came together quickly on his contract extension. And at first you're like, wow, man, $20 million a year.
Yeah.
And then like a week later, like 3 other deals had been done for receivers. And you're like, wow, Chris Godwin was a bargain, right?
Yeah.
It's just, it's funny how the narrative flipped because you had so many of those receivers just like leapfrog Chris and the others and really kind of ascend up there. So, so the Buccaneers have used it in multiple ways. They've made players use that season. And I think because of the fact that they have either drafted or you know, acquired players in free agency that are good dudes. They have not had that franchise tag holdout except for Paul Gruber way back in the day.
Right.
Every other player that has been tagged has played on it. And then you've also seen, as you just mentioned, Matt, where it's used as a placeholder. It's the, well, we don't want to have to give you the franchise tag again because then we're paying 120% of what the franchise tag was, because if you tag the same player in back-to-back seasons, it really escalates the next year. And that's to protect the player from teams just continuing to franchise tag their best player with one-year deals and not really give them the benefit of the long-term contract extension with the guaranteed money, et cetera. So that's a mechanism put in place to protect the player.
You saw that with Kirk Cousins a lot, like in the beginning, at the end of his Washington Redskins regime before he went to the Vikings. He just got franchise tagged like year after year.
Yeah.
And but, you know, you can't franchise tag him so many years.
Right. Yeah. So why Antoine Winfield Jr., who's 25, compared to some players that there are some questions about, right? Baker Mayfield, was that his best season last year? Or is this going to be a consistent benchmark, right? Or can he elevate? Can he get 35 touchdowns and 4,500 yards, right? Mm. Or is he going to regress, right? Was that the best season he's had? And you look at his up and down kind of mercurial career, and maybe you have some hesitation. Gosh, one more year, Baker. Show us what you can do one more year. You feel much better about that. Mike Evans, right? 30 years old, had a fantastic year, had to play on his last year of his contract, wasn't really happy about it. But Matt, as you've said over and over again on this podcast, handled it like an absolute pro. Yeah. Didn't whine, didn't complain, went out there and balled out, right? And but he'll be 31 in August. And at some point in time, and I'm not going to say when, because I'm going to be the last one to insult Mike Evans, but there will be a day, whether it's 32, 35, 40, 42.
Hopefully it's 45. Maybe he pulls a Brady and wants to play until 45.
He won't be a 1,000-yard receiver. There will be injuries, or he'll slow down and he'll turn into a 700-yard, big-time possession receiver.
Great wide receiver three. Yeah.
He'll be a good number two, and then he'll kind of be that number three, and he'll kind of be what Keyshawn Johnson
was. He'll be like what Jerry Rice was with the Raiders.
Exactly. Kind of. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So you don't know when that time's going to come. There's no crystal ball. Jason Light would love to have one. Mike Greenberg would love to have one, but you don't know. So, gosh, the franchise tag, it would be perfect for Mike Evans, right? Why not just extend Antoine Winfield Jr. and give Mike the franchise tag and have him play on the one-year deals? All right, well, here's why. Because whenever you franchise tag somebody and you expect them to play on that deal, like Matt said, they did that with Chris Godwin for the first year. They did that with Shaq Barrett. You're playing on that contract. Well, the number for Antoine Winfield Jr. is $16 million in some change, $16.2 million. That's not bad. That's not a bad base salary. Okay. When you look at the fact Chris Godwin is making $18.5 million in base salary this year, Vita Vea is making $15.5 million. Carlton Davis, I believe, is making $14 million. Jamel Dean's making $12 million. So, okay, you can stomach that. Mm-hmm. Well, then why not just give Mike Evans? Mike Evans, if you look it up, the wide receiver franchise tag number is just over $20 million. That's really palatable. This is a guy that's probably going to make $25 million. Maybe 24, maybe 26 on the free agent market. Well, there's a little caveat, and that caveat is really important to understand. And that is, if a player's cap value is higher than what the franchise tag number is, and Mike's cap value last year was just over $23 million. So you have that $23 million number, and that was his cap value. And the rule says that if that number is higher than the franchise tag number for your position, which for receivers, I said, is just over 20 million, then it's not that number. It's not 21, or it's not 20 million. It's 120% of the value of which you made and what was your cap value. So that number is not 20 million for Mike. It's 28 million. Now you've got a twofold situation. If you're saying to yourself, we think Mike Evans is worth $24, $25, $26 million. Well, that's not 28. 28 is higher. Right? Yeah. That's a bigger number. And more importantly, and this is where it really gets tricky for the Buccaneers. You can't massage, renegotiate, lower that cap number.
Correct.
For Antoine Winfield Jr., 16.2, and it's a static number. They can't do anything this year to lower that number. So they got to take on that cap hit. They'd have to take on a $28 million cap hit for Mike Evans. That's $12 million more worth of cap money that he is going to take up on this year's salary cap than if you use it on Winfield. And that's why Winfield's going to get it and not Mike Evans, because the Buccaneers would have $12 million less of cap flexibility to sign other free agents, re-sign some of their own free agents, and they simply can't afford to have that much money tied up in one player. Oh, Baker Mayfield. Well, you're a quarterback. That number's even higher. It's over $36 million. That's the franchise tag number for a quarterback. Now you sit there and say, okay, well, gosh, guys, you're talking about Baker Mayfield. Like, it's starting at $30 million. That's the baseline. Well, yeah. Maybe teams get high up in the bidding and his number is $36 million, and the Buccaneers would have to pay him $36 million if they wanted him back. And let's say Tampa Bay says, okay, Baker, you're worth $36 million. Well, okay, Matt and Scott. Well, if he's worth $36 million, then just do it the one-year deal for the franchise tag. In case he does bomb or regress, then you're not tied to him past this season. That sounds great in theory. But the thing is now you're talking $12 million more than, or I should say $8 million more than it would be for Mike Evans. And it would be $20 million more than it would be for Antoine Winfield Jr. And yeah, that would give Mike Greenberg a heart attack. And we like Mike. We don't want to see Mike have any type of heart attack ulcer or whatever. So that $36 million is simply cost prohibitive for this year with the Buccaneers having so many free agents. Mike Evans, Antoine Winfield Jr., Baker Mayfield, Chase McLaughlin, Lavonte David. And they have to add some pieces too. They got to find an interior offensive lineman. They got to find even a value edge rusher, right? You probably have to find a safety to replace Ryan Neal. They don't have that flexibility at all to do a lot of that if they're tied up with $36 million in Baker Mayfield. If Baker Mayfield's number is $36 million, Matt, and Pewter people, and if they re-sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal, guess what? They can lower that first year cap value where it might be $20 million or so. And then you're freeing up $16 million to play and go buy other players with. So that's really what it is. That's why it's going to be Winfield, because he's simply the cheapest, the less expensive guy when it comes to that static amount for the franchise tag. $16 million versus $28 million for Mike Evans versus $36 million for Baker Mayfield. And that's what it is. It just comes down to the cap flexibility. Now, if the Buccaneers were the Washington Commodes, and they have $70 million in cap room, you have the room to do that. But not this year with the cap not being as tight in Tampa as it was last year, but not being fully available like it will be in 2025, 2026, when some of this dead money falls off.
Yeah, and I think it's more of, because even compared to other teams around the league, the Bucs are in a pretty solid, like, financial space. You know, they're definitely not starving like they were last year. But better than the Saints, that's for damn sure. And it's one of those things, again, this season where the main objective is re-signing their guys versus, wow, let's go get that new guy because that's all we need to, like, finish this entire product of the team. So it really just comes down to a law of averages of finances, expenses, long-term look as well, because I would not be shocked at all if the franchise tag goes to Antoine Winfield Jr., but he doesn't play on that franchise tag an extension. I think that's like the most realistic scenario that you can see with Antoine Winfield Jr., where with Mike Evans and Baker to a degree, but I think more with Mike, even though he deserves more respect, credibility, and patience with this whole thing, I would put Mike Evans in that same category of what they did with Jamel Dean last year and Lavonte David to a degree, and Carlton Davis the year before of, Mike, we want you back very badly. We just don't want you back for $35 million, so we're going to cross our fingers and hope.
Go get your number. Bring it back.
Go get your number, and let's hope that teams are only going to give you like $27 million or something like that, and we can work with it and bring you back next season. And then
I'll just say this real quick. The thing is, too, is sometimes when teams don't have good relationships with those players.
Look at Gabe Davis right now. Gabe Davis going buck wild on Instagram about leaving the Bills.
Yeah, you're not seeing that with any Buccaneers in Tampa outside of Devin White. And he's not going to be, you know, coming back anyways, right? So, but Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield, they want to come back. They want to play together again. The Bucs want them back. Jason Light has tremendous relationships with both of them. So does Todd Bowles. So does Mike Greenberg, the Bucs cap Jedi. And so when you have that mutual respect, that trust that, hey, we want you back. And you know what? Go get your number. And if it's higher than what we may think that you might be worth, then you know what? Put us in the predicament. Put us in the predicament where we have to ratchet it up a little bit or match that offer, right? But you know, give us that opportunity. And so, but some teams don't have that relationship. So they have to use it like handcuffs. Oh, you're not getting away.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to lock you down. And the player doesn't like that. And that's sometimes where you see those holdout situations when players feel handcuffed, where they want that contract extension. They want that guaranteed money for more than just 1 year. They want the security. Maybe they want to buy a house and they want to start a family, right? And they want a commitment like, hey, I want to put some roots down in Tampa, but I got to find that if I'm going to be here more than 1 year. Right.
Yeah.
So, but the relationship is what matters. And Mike Greenberg has fantastic relationships with all the agents across the league, some better than others, but he can get deals done.
Yes.
And Jason Light has got that personal relationship. I mean, Mike Evans is the first player he ever drafted as a general manager back in 2014. Baker Mayfield got the opportunity to start in Tampa, and there wasn't a lot of starting opportunities around the league last year, and Jason Light gave him that. So with those two players, you do cross your fingers a bit, but you trust the process. You let them go get their number and then say, bring it back to us before you sign, and we'll see what we can do.
And that speaks a ton to the respect that all the Bucs players have for Jason Light, Greenberg, and things like that. But also the respect that Light and Greenberg and the whole front office, Jack Davidson as well, that they have for the people with them, because they do get along, and the players and coaches as well. They do get along. And typically, I think you make a great point, like outside of Devin White, no one's really caused a stir or a controversy with their contract for many, many, many years since Jason Light has been in charge. And I think part of that, too, is that there is a history, there is a precedent going back to Shaq with the franchise tag and Chris Godwin with the franchise tag, that typically Jason Light, that whole group, they take care of their guys one way or another. Like, they'll say, oh, we got to give you the franchise tag, but we want to pay you the money that you were earned, obviously, and deserve, obviously, within the realms of the salary cap as well. But odds are that, and again, going back to 2021, that offseason after they won the Super Bowl in 2020, being able to re-sign all of their guys, that's really difficult to do. But the relationships that they have with these people, taking care of their guys, I think is really important. And more people, more players around the league probably see that than I think a lot of people realize. So,
you know, it's a big reason why players want to come to Tampa.
Yeah. Right?
It's not just Raymond James Stadium and the grass surface, which is one of the best in the league. It's not just the weather. Mm-hmm. It's not just the no state income tax, which Mike Greenberg loves because it helps him in negotiations, right? And it's not just Todd Bowles, who's a player's coach, and they genuinely like Todd, maybe more than the fans do, but they like playing for Todd. It's the culture that's been created, and it's really starts at the top with Jason Light. He really does a good job of making sure that the players feel welcome. And I think, Matt, it goes back to what you were talking about with Chris Godwin. Remember, they gave him the franchise tag after he tore his ACL, right? And then they gave him the long-term extension. Even though he was rehabbing a torn ACL, they gave him market value, $20 million a year They didn't have to. And other teams would say, he's not worth the risk. We're not going to do that, you know? We'll let him go. Maybe have him come back and re-sign for cheaper. But They franchised him, and then they did that. Other players see that, and they say, that's Jason Light taking care of his guys. That's Mike Greenberg and you know, Bruce Arians at the time, now Todd Bowles, taking care of their players and trusting the players to rehab, do the right thing, be worth the money. And that speaks volumes. And that word travels around the league because yes. agents see that, whether they have a player on Tampa's team or not. They see that. Players see that. They talk. I mean, we just saw Sauce Gardner try to,
recruit
Mike Evans, right? So whether it's social media or text or whatever, they see that. And you just build a great reputation for the Bucks are a team that you want to do business with. And so that's why I know there's a lot of hand-wringing yesterday about – you know, gosh, they didn't get deals done. And there's, you know, this salary cap dead money is out there now. Well, they either have to pay it this year or kick the can down the road again. And it's going to affect the Bucks salary cap this year or in future years. So again, the Bucks are saying, all right, we're not going to have $80 million worth of dead money. We might have over $20 million this year, but we can take it. But more importantly, let's not feel under the gun to get a deal done now. Let's do the right deal, not a hasty deal.
And last thing I'll say is look at the last couple of off seasons where you're worried about, oh, are they going to re-sign this guy or how do they bring back that guy? And what are they going to do with quarterback? Year after year, they figured it out and they've gotten the job done. So just trust Jason Light and Mike Greenberg, Jack Davison. Trust them the way that I would implore everybody to trust Celsius Energy Drinks as the best energy drinks around. Of course, they are the official sponsor of the Peter Report podcast. And the newest line they have out is the Celsius Essentials, which are bigger cans, larger than your regular size. So they are carrying 270 milligrams of caffeine to help you live fit. They provide an unbeatable combination of ingredients that support your physical and cognitive performance. You can find Celsius Essentials nationwide at 7-Elevens. You can also pick up their three flavor variety pack over at Walmart, and they will be appearing on Amazon soon. So whether it's the Blue Crush or the Dragonberry or the Celsius Essentials, maybe it's the original flavors that you're still a fan of, could be the Cucumber Lime, Sparkling Orange, Fuji Apple Pear, Arctic Vibe, my personal favorite, Tropical Vibe as well. If you need to know where to find a Celsius energy drink, go to the Celsius store locator on their website, and we'll be using it when we're in Indianapolis next week. Punch in your address and tell you the closest location where you can pick one up. Could be 7-Eleven Health and Fitness Store, or if you're lucky enough, might just be your bodega.
Bodega.
And once you keep going to your bodega and you know you love Celsius, but you want more and you want to get it in bulk, you can order it in bulk. That's when you go back over to Amazon, click on that subscribe and save, have it sent to your place of residence whenever you want. You're in charge. You're the captain. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius energy drinks. Make Celsius your number one pick. Celsius, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast. Scott, we got a couple of super chats to get to. So let's dive into them. Thank you for your patience with these ones. Starting off with Red Fish, Mark Fisher. Thanks for the $4.99 super chat. It was a question on Mike Evans. He says, I'm a fan and want him, but it seemed to me he had more drops than normal this year. Do you agree or couldn't find stats on drops?
Yeah, drops are – it's a very subjective statistic, first of
right.
all. Right.
Because, it is.
You know,
there are some that were blatant with Mike. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, there's some – hit him right in the hands, right? And that's a drop. But, you know, there's – what's the old adage? You know, if you can touch it, you can catch it.
Yes.
Right? In other words, if it goes off your fingertip and your arm's completely extended, is that a drop? Mm-hmm. So it's a little subjective. If you know, it is a drop where you're trying to contort your body and, you know, throw is way behind you and it hits you in the fingertips, but your body's going this way and the ball's back here and you touch it. Is that a drop? It's a very subjective statistic. The NFL doesn't keep official stats. One of the places that does do a pretty good job, and Pro Football Focus is one of them, but Fox Sports is one that keeps drop statistics. And so Mike Evans last year had 7, according to Fox Sports. That's tied with Travis Kelce, Adam Thielen, Amari Cooper, Tyler Higbee, Evan Ingram, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, T. Higgins, Garrett Wilson. So he's in pretty good company with some of those names. That's not a terrible number. especially when you factor that like Tyler Higbee had 7 drops on 70 targets. For Mike, it was 7 drops on 136 targets. That's even fewer drops per targets than a guy like AJ Brown, who had 7 drops on 158 targets, or DK Metcalf, 7 drops on 119 targets. So that's not the end of the world when you look at Puka Nacua, who was the NFL's top rookie. Yeah, 105 catches. He had 13 drops. He had 119 receptions from Tyreek Hill. He had 12 drops. David Njoku had 11. So Davante Adams, like I said, had 8. Stephon Diggs had 8. So Amon-Ra St. Brown had 8. So the drops were memorable, but I don't know that it was necessarily more this year. He's had certain years where he's at 5. Then he's had certain years where he's at 13. So I think kind of an even number for Mike. It seemed like he started off a little bit dropsy at the beginning of the season, Matt.
Yeah.
And then got better as the season went on.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure. I would say his drops are something that I think you have to keep in mind. But overall, the positives and what Mike Evans brings to the Bucs and brings to the offense and how the defense has to game plan for Mike Evans far, far outweighs some of the drop issues that he has. Now, I think, Scott, you bring up a great point comparing his drops to other people around the league. And I don't know, like, how egregious were Travis Kelce's drops versus some of the drops that Mike had? Because Mike was definitely on the larger scale of, like, how did he not catch that? He was wide open in the end zone. With all of that said, you look at the playoff game against Detroit. Mike was making some crazy catches that when the going gets tough and it's crunch time, you typically trust Mike in those situations, albeit with some of the mistakes he's made throughout the season. Unless Mike turns into, and I hate to besmirch this guy because he's a Tampa guy and he played at USF, but unless he turns into like Marquez Valdez-Scantling, where he's wide open and 8 out of 10 times he's dropping it.
Or Kadarius Toney.
Unless that starts happening to Mike, which I really don't think will be the case, it's not, the drops are a concern, but not enough to say we're not going to give you a new contract because of it. But it's a fair concern and a good question, no doubt.
Yeah, it is. Paul, aka Florida Dreamhouse, $5 super chat. Thank you. I give Evans a pass on drops. Contract year pressure. The man still put up some career stats and is deserving of money as long as it doesn't hurt the team. The other thing I'll say, it's kind of the flip side of the drops, is how many times did Mike Evans catch a pass and get tackled at the 1 yard line?
Yeah, like,
there's maybe should have been some more touchdowns. What did Mike have? 13 this year?
13, tied for the league lead with Tyreek Hill.
13 touchdowns. The single season Buccaneer record is one that he set back in 2021 with 14. I'm remembering there was the should have been touchdown against the Texans where he was down at the 1.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say maybe Indianapolis was another one. I think there was 2 that I remember that and was there one against the Panthers?
There was one late in the season.
Yeah, one late in the season at home. And I can't remember which game it was. They all kind of run together. But I mean, he probably should have had 15 or 16 touchdowns, right? Not including drops, but I'm saying he catches the ball and he gets tackled at the 1 yard line or goes down at the 1. So, you know, he didn't get the touchdown, but I mean, he could have had an even more of a monster year from a scoring perspective.
Yeah.
With 1 more yard, if Baker Mayfield throws a little bit further or whatever. So it all kind of balances out, I think. And I think Mike, I listen, he was a second team all pro, a pro bowler.
He had a great year.
Great year. Yes. Great year.
He had a great year. We are very much nitpicking a small part of what Mike wasn't able to do. And from one Mike to another, as Paul A.K. Florida Dreamhouse follows up with the $2 super chat, says Evans drops passes ... Jordan, talking about Michael Jordan, missed shots. Yeah, that is true. Michael Jordan not hit every single game-winning shot was presented his way.
Yep.
Thank you to Mark Fisher again, Rev Fish, for this $1.99 super chat. He says, that was helpful and informative. Thanks. Thank you for the super chat. That's what we try to do. We're here to answer questions and sometimes inform as well. We got a super chat from Kathy Gillespie. Thank you, Kathy, for the $5 super chat. Says, much speculation from sports media and social media. Trying not to buy into all of it. Trust Light and Company. So much shock value in these titles. Kathy, I think you are absolutely spot on, 100%. You're going to see it. There's a lot of aggregators out there that people feel one type, very different types of ways about aggregators. Some hate their guts. Some think that they're like helpful to the community. Yep. I'm somewhere in the middle. I think sometimes aggregators give away like just misleading. There was one, for example, this season where Mike Evans, it was actually after a Mike Evans drop, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And Evans was like pissed off on the sidelines, like yelling, screaming at himself. He was angry that he dropped the ball. And the aggregator said, it was like, oh, Mike Evans must be so mad that he's not getting the football. It's like, no, you moron. Like, he's mad that he dropped the football in the end zone. And I hate things like that because you're taking things out of context.
I agree.
And you're getting it to, you know, the Bucs fans knew what Mike was mad at. But again, national attention. We talked about that a lot. Someone out on the West Coast is watching that being like, damn, what the heck, Mike Evans? But that wasn't the case. So you're going to see a lot of shock. I mean, there was an article last year that said that the Bucs should trade Antoine Winfield Jr. because he was in the last year of his deal.
Yeah.
That seems like a pretty idiotic idea, and good thing that they didn't. So you're going to see some wild goose chases at times. You're going to see some silliness, some silly
just
goose
trust Peter Report.
Articles and stuff. You know, trust Peter Report.
We're boots on the ground. Exactly. We're at the team facility. We have contacts galore at every level of the organization, including the locker room with a bunch of players.
Yeah.
I'll just say this. Sometimes, and this is exactly what you're speaking to, Matt, where it says, oh, well, they're not going to use the franchise tag on Baker Mayfield, so he's going to hit free agency. Yes, he will hit free agency. Doesn't mean he's going to leave, okay?
Right.
It's a big difference. Jamel Dean didn't leave. Levante David didn't leave. Carlton Davis didn't leave. Those are the three players that were the biggest free agent names over the last 2 years. They tested the market. It was not as robust as they thought it was going to be. They came back to Tampa, who gave them a fair offer, market value. So why not try to deploy that strategy again? See what the market will bear, right? Coming out with an article tomorrow that lists that I think there might be more of a robust market for Baker Mayfield than for Mike Evans. And I'll detail that in my story tomorrow on pewterreport.com. Check that out. Again, if you're late to the show, no worries. You can go back and watch the show. They're all on Pewter Report TV, our YouTube channel, which we want you to subscribe. Help us get to, where are we at? 12,000?
We're almost
13,300.
We're close to 13,300. So we want to get to that Chris Godwin number so then we can.
Exactly. Help us get to 14,000, right?
Yeah.
So the more that you like our videos, and that's just pressing a button. Subscribe, like, hit the videos, all of that. The more that you do that, the more that you leave comments after the show, go to the podcast. I loved it. I hated it. Scott's hair looks stupid today. Whatever you want to put.
Right. It could be whatever.
The
like
more
someone the other day, and I apologize, the name is escaping me, but someone just said, go Bucks after it. That's perfect. Like that helps for whatever
helps
reason,
algorithm.
With the algorithm, with all that stuff. You can say, go Bucks. You can say, Saints stink. I hate the Saints or, you know, I hate the Falcons, whatever it is. Any type of comment, things of that nature helps us and helps spread the word. And doesn't take too much time out of your day as well. Cause we know you guys are, got your own stuff going on, your own life, and we obviously appreciate when you guys spend some of your time with us on the podcast, whether you're live or whether you listen to it at a later date, because we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for you guys, for sure.
Yeah, and I'll say this. This is my favorite part of the day. I mean, I love writing stories for Pewter Report, but being on with Matt, talking with you guys, answering your questions, it's a great way to communicate.
Keeps my mind sharp. Like, keeps me going.
Appreciate that.
The $2 super chat says, absolutely, you guys are my go-to. Appreciate that, Kathy. And as Chris Roxentine says, I hate the Saints. I think that's important too. You might be new to the podcast. If so, thank you. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. We do this all year round. I know there's not football playing right now, and that saddens me, as it should sadden you as well, the Pewter people. But yeah, I mean, as soon as the season's done, then bam, it's free agency. Who are they re-signing? It's the draft. Who are they going to take this year? We were just in Mobile, Alabama a week or two ago. We'll be at the Combine next week. So the gears just shift a little bit. There's still podcasts four times a week, except for occasional holidays and things like that.
This is the team building part of it, right? This is where, you know, where the Yaya Diabis get discovered, right? And then drafted, the Kalijah Kancis, right? The Cody Mauchs. So this is kind of the fun part. If you play Madden football and you do the franchise mode, this is just as much a part of it as the season itself. It's building the team, the trades, the free agent signings, the franchise tag, the draft. Yeah.
And we have stuff like that, Scott, coming up. We usually do it around March, right around free agency with the Bucks battle plans, which is a lot of fun to do, where essentially we put on our Jason Light GM hats and decide what we would do with the Bucks. It's not always it's out of our own mind. So it doesn't always have to be like, oh, well, it's not always in terms of what we think the Bucks will do. It's what we would do. Or, you know, sometimes you have a little fun with it, a little bit of a hypothetical type of stuff. But yeah, that's a long way of saying tons of content coming out from the podcast, from pewterreport.com. So no need to go anywhere. I know there's not games going on, but there's going to be tons of speculation, reporting, and all that fun stuff that you could find over at pewterreport.com. So you can count on us just like you can count on mybookie.ag if you want to bet on all the latest sports. I know football season's done, but the NBA is about to start their second half. Baseball just began spring training, so they'll be back soon. The NHL is going on. It's actually at the Lightning game last night. Unfortunately, they're hitting a little bit of a rough patch at the moment. But anyway, you can bet on all the great sports over at MyBookie. Sign up with the promo code Pewter. That's P-E-W-T-E-R. Get a first deposit bonus when you sign up using that promo code. So that is free money in your MyBookie account. Even if you learn from Plant City Math, you know that that is a heck of a deal. So check out mybookie.ag. Use that promo code Pewter, P-E-W-T-E-R. Get to betting and check out their online casino as well. Casinos can be fun. Maybe you don't always have the time of your day to go out to one. So you can enjoy it right from the comfort of your own home, from your couch. Play the slots, roulettes, all of that great stuff over at mybookie.ag.
Listen, I got to own up to something here, and this is 1,000% true. G Vegas, the only big miss Pewter Report did was saying that Canales was staying in Tampa. Other than that, they're pretty solid with Bucks player news. Guilty as charged there. I think I came out right before Canales left and said, well, at least the Buccaneers have their head coach, their offensive coordinator, and their quarterback, back this year. I think they're going to go 2 out of 3. I think Baker Mayfield comes back. Todd Bowles is obviously back. And Liam Cohen, who I honestly, optimistically think that he can be an upgrade over Dave Canales. I think they can pick up where they left off and then add to that. And I think with Cohen's play calling experience, they can hit the ground running a little faster without that learning curve that Dave Canales had to go with. So we'll see. But yes, I did think Dave Canales was going to stay. And honestly, I think Dave Canales thought he was going to stay.
Yeah.
That second interview with Dan Morgan, and man, it's like, it's a lot of money to turn down, Matt. That was a long contract, a lot of guaranteed money. It's one of those things that you only get so many bites at the apple, and you don't know if that opportunity is going to come around again. He's got that connection with Dan Morgan from their days in Seattle together. There's that automatic trust that's built in. It was just too good to pass up for Dave Canales.
No one's going to be right 100% of the time in these predictions, projections.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't go undefeated picking every Bucks game.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah. We didn't pick every player that the Bucks drafted, but we got most of them.
Yeah.
That's why you come to Pewter Report, people. Any take on Bruce Arians' quarterback scouting? Yes, that's an area that Bruce Arians knows very well. He's the quarterback whisperer, and he has been doing a lot of the scouting on these college quarterbacks in case the Buccaneers want to take one. Whether Baker Mayfield comes back or not, they might have to move on from Kyle Trask if, you know, he wants to go elsewhere and say, I've been here for 4 years in Tampa. I haven't got my shot, so let me go somewhere else. Well, you need another quarterback in the hopper, and there might be a guy worth drafting that will be that successor. And you've seen it a couple times. Alex Smith in Kansas City, they draft Pat Mahomes, right? Mahomes sits and then plays and plays really well. You saw that with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. They draft Jordan Love. He sits. Then all of a sudden, Jordan Love gets his opportunity. Pretty good quarterback, too. So maybe the Buccaneers do that this year. They draft a quarterback, give Baker a couple more years, and then they move on and let the new guy that is going to be scouted by Bruce Arians, you know, we'll see if that's the way they go. We have the Bucs taking a quarterback in our latest mock draft. Actually, we've had him taking a quarterback in both mock drafts.
But
there'll be a new mock draft after the combine, too. So stay tuned to that.
Yeah, it will be fun. By the way, I want to give a shout out to Kaseo Talk Sports. First time watching the show. So that's what I was talking about before. You never know who's going to be new watching the show. So welcome. Hope you are enjoying and hope you stick with us for this ride of the offseason as we work our way to the draft and everything.
Big Al says, had a drink of Fantasy Vibe Celsius, still being here at work since 6 in the morning. God bless you, man. That's
Hey, good for you, man, getting through. And hopefully we can help you power through that work shift as well.
For sure. Let's see. This would probably be a good time. No easy segue, so we're just going to jump into it. But listen, folks, you know the drill by now. I mean, Eric Gross and the Eric Gross Group. If you want to trade in your mortgage, that's right, it's the off season, so maybe it's time you trade in your mortgage for a new one, maybe a new house. Well, Eric Gross and the Eric Gross Group, they're the ones to turn to. That's Eric and Caitlin Gross. They can be your realtors. They're the official realtor of PewterReport.com, and I invite you to check out their website, housesinfla.com. That's right, housesinfla.com. It's a great website with an awesome layout. You can check out their inventory, check out their latest open houses, and you can also find them on social media, Eric Gross Group on Instagram and Facebook. Highly recommend the Eric Gross Group because it does take a full team effort to win in football, just like it does in real estate. And their clients are not just transactions, they're lifelong friendships. They don't let the stress of buying or selling a home keep you out of the game. Let the Eric Gross Group take the pressure off. Give Eric a call at 513-907-4271. That's 513-907-4271, or visit housesinflorida, that's FLA.com. No matter where you are on your home ownership journey, you're going to feel welcome with the Eric Gross Group. That's the official realtor of Pewter Report.
Well, got a very fun show today. The fun does not stop. We still got two more episodes to go this week. And tomorrow's topic, we will be talking about which Bucks will be cap casualties. Unfortunately, this is a thing that happens every year for each and every team, and the Bucks are no different. Obviously, we'll be talking about Shaq Barrett, a couple of other names that could end up being let go by the Buccaneers so the Bucks can open up some more cap room. Maybe we'll talk some restructures, things like that as well, so the Bucks can get more cap flexibility and sign those guys like Antoine Winfield Jr., Baker Mayfield, and Mike Evans, who we talked about today. So a lot of great info. And again, make sure if you want to get your point across, you have a question that you just absolutely need answered. We try to get to as many comments as we possibly can, but super chats definitely go a long way. We obviously make sure we answer every single super chat. So keep that in mind for tomorrow's show and for the rest of the shows as well. But in the meantime, if you're not already doing so, please follow us on our social media on X, Threads, Facebook, and Instagram. We are at Pewter Report. And then, of course, our YouTube channel, which you're on right now, is Pewter Report TV. We got various different clips from the podcast. We always got stuff from the Bucks facility when we're there. Had great clips from the Senior Bowl. We'll have even more from the Combine coming up, especially with getting to talk to Jason Light and Todd Bowles. Of course, all the prospects there as well. So a lot more content coming up over the next few weeks, really for the whole year. Not much changes with your Bucks content. So make sure you follow us on all of our social media. That's going to do it for us on today's show. Another fun episode. So for Scott Reynolds, I'm Matt Matera saying thanks, everybody, for watching. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. for another edition of the Pewter Report podcast. Out.
Out.